don't criticize me for not loving it.
I got no
Love's
problem.
A strong word.
I got no problem if you love it, hate it, or indifferent. Here's my thing.
Yeah.
If the NCAA tournament, Pat, was only played once every 4 years, you think it would be a little more exciting and even more interesting than it already is?
That's nothing to do with why they cheer like it's a last-second shot every goal.
My point is you have to wait 4 years for an opportunity. It's the same thing like the Ryder Cup. I get doubly enthusiastic. If they play the Ryder Cup every year.
Okay, so then let me ask you a question. So it's not soccer. A lot of these folks, like, they just like the World Cup.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's me.
Well,
I
then,
don't,
but
I will watch
everybody who...
The next time I watch soccer after the World Cup is the next World Cup.
All right, if somebody walks into an establishment with a Clint Dempsey or a United States soccer jersey, or I saw a guy that had, like, a United States headband, he had... I mean, he was wearing cleats and bouncing a soccer ball around, literally, around the deal. He got excited every time we scored a goal.
Right.
My question would be is, it's just a goal, right?
No, a goal is so significant. You know that. I mean, a goal is, one goal could be the difference. One zip happens all the time.
It just seems like an overreaction for every, like the game-winning goal.
Every goal is so much, well, but you don't know what the game-winning goal is. The game-winning goal could come in the first three minutes of the game.
You could say that for any sport. You don't know what touchdown is going to be. You don't know what Major League Baseball run score is going to be.
Baseball is a little better comparison, but it's not because, I mean, you got nine innings. You know you have a set amount of plays. I mean, or set amount of outs. It's a time sport, so I guess you could compare it to football to some degree too. But it's so typical to see low scoring.
I just think the whole dramatic side of it is it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
because that's what you see. I mean, like we talked about yesterday. It's like it's such an emotional, dramatic game. I mean, like everybody like.
It's like hockey.
Every goal is
so much more significant because you're not going to see teams score. I mean, it's nothing for a football team to score five or six times in a game.
I understand. I grew up watching hockey, and I would get excited when they would score a goal. But when you see these videos of people when the celebrations, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it is like all like people jumping on top of the bar.
My point is, you're combining the fact that you got to wait every 4 years for this event. And every single goal is so significant.
Yeah, exactly. One goal might win the game.
I understand. One run might win the game. One goal wins the game. One run wins the game. It just seems like it's such an incredible thing.
Even in the playoffs, you don't see a lot of but you don't see a lot of 1-0 games. You don't see, and you never see a scoreless tie.
In what?
In baseball.
No, you keep going.
College football. Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Right. So you know,
I sold all my ties when they said no more ties in college football.
It's a good move.
I mean, I'm like this. Yes! And everyone else is literally losing their heads.
I got a little excited yesterday when South Korea went up 1-0 on Russia.
See, did you give him a fist pump? Did you give him a fist pump? What'd you do?
I mean, I got a little excited. I squirmed
in
my seat.
Did you almost crack a smile?
I went, yes, yes.
Apparently, Russia blew it yesterday, huh? They ended up in a tie, but that's the thing. I wish they would go to penalty kicks every time. I think that would
be... love penalty kicks.
Well, I just don't like ties. I mean, if you're going to play for 90 minutes and then it's a tie, it sucks.
It's part of the beautiful game.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I'm fine with not making scoring more, you know, making it easier to score.
But you didn't grow up playing this sport, did you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I played a couple years when I was little.
Did you really?
Yeah, but I mean, I quit.
Not enough to learn then like, I was the like, nuances, though.
No, I mean, I was like, nobody really I was like knows seven the nuances. Or eight. I mean, yeah.
You didn't, did you, Pat?
No, we didn't play soccer. Although, listen, if you get a kid that's like 4 or 5 and they can't understand the concepts of how to hit or shoot or dribble, then yeah, soccer, it's a great way for a young kid to get out there and run and kick the ball.
It's a good sport.
It's a great sport. I'm going to say this. I have come full circle on it. I've done a 180 on soccer. I find it to be it can be compelling. It is fun. I mean, I enjoy going to watch my kid play soccer. I enjoy watching kids soccer, period.
But our culture is not built... Like, our culture, we just talked about it, we're scoring goal. I mean, you want to score. We don't understand the whole beautiful part of the game after it ends in a 0-0 tie.
Right, because you might work 10 minutes to get one good shot on goal, and that's the thing, and you may not score the whole game, and you still played well. Again, we in America, we eat too much, we drink too much, we do everything in excess, including scoring in our sports. And so soccer is so hard for the average American because that's not the American mentality. It's very anti-capitalist because every single little tiny bit is a big deal.
To me, and again, I don't criticize people who like it. I understand you probably played it, but for me, it's like softball or bowling or kissing. It's a participation sport, not a spectator sport.
Really?
I love it. Well, kissing... Well, we'll move on from that.
Yeah,
I don't really want to watch winners and losers. And that's the way it's set up, though. I mean, you can be a winner by tying. Like, if we tie against Portugal or Germany.
If we tie Germany, it's a huge accomplishment.
Well, I'm saying we can still technically win because we'll be moving on. You see what I'm saying?
You can win
the way the rules are set up.
But you're in pool play now.
I understand. But, like, hockey, if they have a point system.
Mm-hmm.
So a win, a loss, it's all that stuff. Like, when they look at who is the leaders of each conference, they go by points
right.
in hockey. So it's a little bit of a different approach where, like, football, basketball, baseball, we look at win-loss.
Sure.
You got to have a winner, got to have a loser, where some of these...
Well, and they're going to have that in the elimination round once they get out of pool play.
And of course, eventually you got to get to that point.
And I think that's far more fun. I like penalty kicks. I wish they would do that in pool play,
too. But if they gave in football, you know, the whole... Remember when Donovan McNabb didn't even realize you mm-hmm. could tie a game?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, just that gives you an idea of the different mentality and different approach to how we look at some of these American sports.
Well, it's anyway, it's definitely captured the nation. Whether you like it, love it, don't love it, whatever, you don't want to hear about it. It is 25 million people in America now, 25 million Americans watch the USA Ghana game. Think about that. 25 million Americans.
How many understood what was going on?
It doesn't matter. Again, like I said, if the USA is playing chess, checkers, tiddlywinks, or anything else, people are going to root for the United States.
Consider the timing, though. If you had a Dallas Cowboy, New Orleans Saints exhibition game at the same time, what do you think your numbers would have been?
23 million?
No.
I would have watched it over an exhibition NFL game.
I think most Americans would watch football.
It is the unfortunate
I'll say another thing.
Thing,
though, speaking about that, let me say this before I forget, because I forgot it once already, now I just remembered again. This is going to be blasphemy in this part of the country. And I'm a devout football fan since birth. Mm. However,
not sounding like it.
Well, I know, but here's what I'm saying. How many times have you heard high-profile people in the last couple, 3 years, with all the concussion talk, come out and say, my kid ain't going to play football? I mean, I love my kids. I'd love for them to play football, but at the same time, I would have some misgivings at this point because of what we've learned about it. It's dangerous. Now, you can also see that I read a book about concussions not too long ago that a woman had written. And I think the second most common concussion rate is girls' soccer because of the heading of the ball.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's something that you probably need to look at if you've got a kid that's playing, and maybe you try to, not outlaw it, but I don't know how you do that. Maybe you can outlaw it in
Isn't
youth soccer.
Isn't this supposed to be a proper way to do it? Yeah, in youth soccer, well, you look, your brain's developed.
Yeah, your brain's being jiggled about in there. It's basically like a grape that's stuck in Jell-O. I mean, it's going to jiggle around no matter how you look at it. You can... You know, but anyway, the bottom line is it's not, you know, 100% good for you. So my thing is the risk of injury is much less. I mean, we were talking about an injury the other day. Guy broke a nose, which was a freakish thing, Dempsey. And then Altidore has a hamstring pull. I mean, those are the injuries.
So we had a kid on Monday night, basketball, took an elbow right to the bridge of the nose. He's got a concussion. He's out for a week and a half.
See, there you
go. I mean, it's just one of those freak
And there's concussions
accidents.
In
you
this,
shouldn't
too.
Be elbowing kids.
No, I didn't do it. It was a poor kid dumb, but it was one of our best players.
Hey, you know what? He'll never have to tell him to do that
cut
right again.
Speaking of winning and losing, we lost in the Dunbar League again last night. If I felt so good about the performance, though, because we got better.
See,
this
exactly.
is a team you're coaching?
Yeah, in the Dunbar
How
League.
How old are they?
It's the CBC team
kids.
Out of Conway. Trying to piece it together.
Anyway, at the end of the day,
good for you, giving back.
I think, you know, we talk about how people drive their kids towards football, baseball, basketball, the big ones in the United States, especially here in this part of the country. I do think you're going to see some parents that will not allow or will encourage more so to have their kids play sports that are not as what they would deem dangerous.
Here, I'm going to blow your mind on this.
Blow my mind.
Blow your mind on this. That may be so, and I want to say this the right way. It won't matter, really, because the kids that you see that are playing on the highest levels of football and basketball are coming from areas where it's either, this is the only way for me to make it out of here. Like, if a suburban kid, parents doesn't want him to play football for concussion, puts him in soccer, guess what? We would have never seen him on an NFL field or an NBA court anyway.
No, my point is,
it's these inner city kids who maybe don't have a parental guidance to where they see it's either me knock this kid's block off in the secondary or what?
No,
I'm going to become a doctor?
I don't disagree with that. My point is, though, there are plenty of kids who do have a good home life and do have good parental guidance and do have means who are good enough to play high-level football, basketball.
Very few of them. Very few of them.
I don't agree with that. There are lots of kids that come from a stable household that choose to play football or basketball and could be driven into soccer as opposed to that, especially football.
Not enough. I don't think it's enough to make it significant. I mean, there are some. Sure, you got Matthew Stafford.
It would take a long. Like it's going to take a. It's going to take a long time, and I don't think it's never going to replace football. I don't want it to, but I'm just saying. I think there may be some kids who would end up playing football where you got wary parents now because of the injury potential driving them somewhere else. And it may not be soccer. It may be baseball.
I'd love to see baseball.
I mean, I have a question that I don't know the answer to. I know North Little Rock intentionally put in soccer fields, and they're used a lot. There's several leagues, adult leagues over there. Has Little Rock ever put in a soccer field, or is it people find lots and develop them into soccer fields for their – I don't know.
We got one across the street, Verizon Field. I don't know who owns that.
Verizon.
Anyone figure that one out?
What are they – do we know what they're doing with this other field?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's going to be a two-decker parking.
No. The one that they tore up on this side of the street.
Yes, directly across, because apparently –
there's going to be two-deck parking, and then what's going on the other thing?
The ATA.
Oh, building. That's right. The ATA's building their home.
Apparently, Verizon has sold a big portion of their parking lot to other businesses in the area to use it. So now they have to build up more parking. I know. It's very strange.
We're losing two soccer fields.
They did put a new one in that has not been used yet. And then we're losing at least one, maybe two. But they still have one that's available, and then the one behind that that's closer to Cantrell.
But does the city of Little Rock do anything to help maintain them? Pay for them, develop them.
Are there any parks in town that have them? I don't know. You got softball fields out of your ears.
Oh, right down here in Rebsman, they have
Murray Park.
Yeah,
Murray Park has
right
soccer
on the
fields.
Right-hand side, yeah.
Okay.
Right set back.
Oh, there you go.
And don't ask me how I know that.
Where?
It's right on
Murray
right
Park.
Before,
Murray
right
Park.
After
Murray
Rebsman.
Park. Just down, it's down here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have three
off
soccer
of Riverfront.
Probably.
They've got volleyball down there, too. That's actually, I like Murray Park. We don't go down there near enough.
And they have leagues down there.
Plus, you can also launch a good bike ride from there, too. A couple things related to soccer, then we'll move on to some other things. Apparently, according to the coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, they are full of hope, is his quote, that striker Jozy Altidore can still play a role in this World Cup team despite the strained left hamstring. He had an MRI on his hamstring Tuesday. Klinsmann said the team would watch how he responds this week. He didn't say what level strain it was. Clearly, it's not a tear. They would know they had no chance of getting him back this week.
Bro, he was hobbling pretty good.
He was hobbling.
Yeah.
But you know how hamstrings are. So, I mean, like we said, we had a doctor on there. They had a doctor on ESPN the other day, and he said if it's a level one or it's like day-to-day, basically. If it's two, it's probably a week. And then if it's up to if it's a tear, obviously he's done. But it could be a week to a couple weeks.
I would like to look at his history. It's if he typically does he play through? You know, he came out of the game, obviously.
Yeah.
So would he normally come out of the game with just a grade one? Is that something he could play through? Because if it isn't,
are you questioning his mental toughness?
No, I'm just because different guys respond. Let's just say they respond differently.
Oh yeah.
And
you calling him a wuss, Pat?
No, I'm just saying if he can't play through a strain one, then he is not going to play.
Huh. No, I think that's not true. I think that they're erring on the side of caution because if you get a hammy that's pulled, and I saw Sully go down with a bad hamstring one time where he dropped to the ground in a sack of potatoes one time in a softball game, and it was all black and blue and disgusting, and he came back a week later and played.
I love Sully, but Altidore's hamstrings are a little bigger.
I'm not saying that. Well, he's also a lot better athlete, and he's in better shape, too. So I would
but he's got a lot more muscle there to hurt.
I'm going to assume that his repair... Again, we don't know the level of the injury. All I'm saying is it's not like it's impossible.
Sully's a superhuman, though.
That's true.
Okay.
Here is Tim Howard, the United States player, talking about what he expects his team will have to do to beat Portugal on Sunday.
We will beat Portugal if...
If we play a near-perfect game.
Near-perfect. Huh. Okay. So not much room for error there.
No, but we're capable of it. We've done it before, so we feel confident we can do it again.
That is the U.S. goalkeeper, Tim Howard, on the Dan Patrick
Tim
Show.
Tim Howard has to play a perfect game.
Yeah, he better.
If he plays perfect, then yeah, we got a chance.
Yeah, but if he plays perfect, they still might score a goal or two.
He's not a perfect goalie, though. That's the problem.
No, but he's pretty darn good, apparently.
He's good.
He's very good. According to Steve Gorman, who is our go-to guy on this kind of stuff, he's very well respected in soccer circles.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
I've met him.
Okay.
Jim.
I've met lots of guys who suck at their job, so that doesn't mean he's good, but you met him and he's good.
Yeah, I think he's very good. I don't think he's the best in the world, and he has to be.
Well, nobody would argue that.
He's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
I will say the Mexican goaler was awfully good.
He used to own a house on Lake Ouachita.
Jim Howard?
Yeah, his wife was from Memphis.
Didn't know.
And that's another thing about Altidore is you got to make sure this guy's 100% because it's a sport where you can't rely on, let's say, his skill. You can't drop it into the post and have this guy go to work on the post on anybody. I mean, this is based on he's a physical type player. So if he gets back in there, they're going at him. He's banging guys, and that's how he got hurt. He had a hold up. So if he's 95%, is that better than the next guy you got? That's my only question. I don't know the answer to that.
They got some other good young guys that they like.
Clearly.
If he plays, their chances of winning go up by 15%.
I say get Johnny Football in there.
But what if he's at 93%? What would the percentage you give then?
What about the guy that made the goal?
Johnny
Football.
Brooks. Yeah. Johnny Football.
They're calling him Johnny Football now.
I just think Germany's really, really good.
Yeah, no doubt, but they got to beat Portugal. They beat Portugal, it doesn't matter what happens with Germany because they're already in the next round, so it doesn't matter. They got to win Sunday. They win Sunday, it's over. If they tie Sunday, they may have to tie Germany, you know, at worst to advance. We'll see.
Which it looks like if the Germans...
No, they beat Portugal, they're in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why Sunday...
Yeah, tie. Yeah.
I don't expect it to be Germany at all.
Be 4 points. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Ghana's already had a loss. The best Ghana could do at that, they're not going to beat Germany, so...
No chance beating Germany.
So that means that even if they beat Portugal, they'll have 3 points, and Portugal would have a loss. So again, if the United States...
I know the rest of the world doesn't want the USA to get out of pool play, but the TV people do.
Did you hear the stat yesterday? And I heard this on ESPN. 85% of the teams that win their first game in pool play advance.
Wow.
So they're in good shape.
Yep.
It's not like it can't be done for them to get left out. Four things the U.S. needs to do to beat Portugal, according to this list, and then I'll take a few calls before our break. Bolster the midfield, it says. Portugal was frustrated throughout its match against Germany. By the way, if you saw them, they're probably not feeling great about themselves right now because they got murdered the other day. In part due to the fact that it played like a man down for much of the match, but also because the Germans clogged the middle of the field with five players to Portugal's three. Number two on the list is let Clint Dempsey be Clint Dempsey. I don't know if that means have him run around with a bloody nose or what.
I don't know what that means.
It says, if Zusi comes in Altidore's place, the U.S. would likely play Dempsey as the lone striker. That's exactly what is needed in a match where the U.S. will be expected to have more possessions. With Altidore, the U.S. has tremendous counterattacking ability, which was evident in the moments leading up to his injury. However, without the explosive striker, the U.S. needs to find Dempsey's feet and allow him to create opportunities through his technical skill.
I'm buying it.
Number three on the list, bring in Timmy Chandler. Does anybody know who that is? Me neither. DeMarcus Beasley has enjoyed a prolific international career, according to this, spanning four World Cups. He cannot defend Cristiano Ronaldo. Many have failed at that. Beasley could barely defend Ghana's Christian Atsu, so why ask him to defend the greatest attacker in the game? Can Timmy Chandler contain Ronaldo in his own? No, but Chandler possesses the athletic ability to hinder Ronaldo in a physical battle, it says. And it says, steal the key to Germany's game plan, which was basically go out, find Ronaldo, take him out of the game, and then take your chances. And I imagine that's probably exactly what Klinsmann will do, don't you think?
Yeah, it would help.
It's like playing LeBron James. He may get 25-10, but I'm not going to let him beat me by himself.
Let me ask you this. Pepe, the Portuguese man who...
The headbutter. Portuguese man of war?
Because he is suspended for this next game.
Right.
Because he got a red card.
Yes.
Does that mean that they have to also still play with only 10 guys?
No, that's unfortunate.
Oh, that's bull!
I agree with you. That's unfortunate.
Come on!
That'd be nice. Let me get Ross in here before we take a timeout. Hi, Ross. Ross, gave up. If you have any soccer-filled information, by the way, we welcome it. We also got some news that broke this morning regarding the Washington Redskins we'll talk about coming up. Also later today,
amazing news, by the way.
It is amazing news. It's the end around on how to get the Redskins out of the league.
Oh, I see what you did there. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. It was totally unintentional pun, too. We also have the Word Cup later. Michael Felder from Bleacher Report and Nate Olson will be in the final hour. Tide fan Steve, what's up?
What's up, guys? You were mentioning the ratings or whatever.
25 million Americans,
that's on TV sets. I would love to know because there's no way to track it, but I think they're estimating about 17 million additional people also watched it either through, like, the Watch ESPN app or FIFAWorldCup.com and the internet, you know, as well.
Average Monday Night Football game, Wally, for comparison's sake to your NFL comment, is about half that.
Really?
An average Monday Night Football game is half of what the 25 million is. So
I don't think anybody. Of course, I know I'm not trying to compare that saying that soccer is going to take over the United States, be you know, the favorite favorite sport of this country and things of that nature. That's not where I'm coming at all. But I will agree with what you said a minute ago, and that is the fact that if the U.S. gets out of pool play, my gosh, would ESPN and these TV people be making, wanting that for gobs of money?
Oh, sure.
And I'm going to be tuned in on Sunday, so hey, go USA, love this country. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Soccer fan Steve, come right in there.
The good news is, like Wally, you can love this country and still not like soccer. That's what's great about
it's
America.
I'm indifferent about it. I don't dislike it.
But you're not going to make any kind of effort to see it.
I have. I sat there last night. I told you I watched South Korea and Russia.
Why are you watching? I don't get into those games until it's like the quarterfinals or semis. I don't get into games that are non-American games until late, but that's me. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, not much, guys. Hey, a couple quick things, Justin. I was one of the 25 million that watched, and I don't know why it is, because my kids don't play soccer. I've never really liked soccer. But every 4 years, I just have American pride, and I watch. I mean, and
you only have pride every 4 years?
You know.
What about during the Ryder Cup? Do you have pride during the Ryder Cup, too?
Yeah, I do, actually. Okay.
On the 4th of July?
You have pride at least every 2 years, then.
Anytime the U.S. is playing, I'm watching.
That's me.
Hey, but Justin, hey, I've heard a couple of times on this program, not your show, I don't think, but I've heard a couple of times people have said that soccer helps hand-eye coordination.
I never heard that.
But, I mean, Tommy said it this morning. I think Matt Jones said it yesterday.
I think it helps.
And I just didn't understand that.
I agree. I think it helps your footwork, though, substantially.
Well, it does help your footwork. I can see that. You said earlier, you know, a lot of the parents are going to be pushing their kids away from football probably because of concussion.
I'm just raising the possibility.
And I understand that, and that's a great point. But I think I don't think you're going to be pushing toward baseball. For this reason, I mean, when a kid goes to college, he's not going to get a full ride in baseball.
Right.
You know, and those inner-city kids, and I'm not,
yeah, but
not
if
necessarily
your kids,
just talking about inner-city kids, but they have to have that money to go to school, a lot of.
Well, if your kids are good enough, they can go pro immediately, too, so.
In baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how, I mean, we're not very often around here they don't.
Well, not very often you can go pro in any sport, so that's it's irrelevant.
It is, but
and there's there's a lot more availability as far as minor leagues in baseball than there is in football, right?
Yeah, because there's a lot better chance of getting money to go to school in another sport. But anyway, hey, I enjoy the show. Hey, who are the guys in the Faith versus Fat?
Pigskin Preacher and a few other guys I haven't met yet, so I'll get back to you on that.
Oh, I need to remind you to contact them.
Are they already doing it?
Yeah, I mean they're checked out. They haven't started yet, I don't think.
Right. Hey, you got my email, right?
I did. And it wasn't up.
I'll be calling more. That's not good for anybody.
It wasn't up to me. I want you to.
I know it wasn't, buddy. Hey,
get involved.
Hey, I enjoy y'all's show though. Y'all be a good guy.
Thanks, Ethan. I appreciate it. Sterling, last call before the break.
Hey, I've been hearing this for a long time. This has been going on even before I was born. Pele came over here years and years ago, trying to get soccer to take off, and it never did. At 94, we hosted the World Cup. And like you say, Justin, it's only hot when it's the World Cup. After that, it's gone.
Right.
And I think we'll continue to do that. I don't know what it is about the game. I hate it when people try to change the game because we done try to change the game over here. We really had indoor soccer league. I remember seeing Wild World Sports and all them. You know, when it gets this dead time of year, they had indoor soccer in the early 80s. And it's just a game that just don't take off.
Yeah.
It's just something that I just don't see it ever happening.
Yeah, I don't know that I do either. My point is, though, it's only every 4 years. So for those of you who can't stomach it, I would say please try to tolerate it.
It's like the Olympics. You never hear anybody call in here and say, hey, this weekend I'm going to go watch synchronized swimming.
Or curling.
Yeah.
Right.
Before
at the Olympics, and if it's on, you're going to watch it.
No doubt.
I think it is, though, when people try to push soccer and talk about where it's going to be in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, don't even think about that. I think that's the wrong approach to take. We need to approach it what it is, and it's people getting excited about the USA.
But the rest of the world doesn't have the NFL. They don't have the NBA like the world's greatest players. We're a much more diverse sports world country than the rest of the world.
True.
That is very true.
Let me ask you this, Wally.
Very true.
Once Roger Goodell finally gets his wish and puts an NFL team in London, do they instantly start caring less about soccer?
Duh.
No.
I don't know. I'm asking.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
And Justin.
Sir?
What did you think about Tanaka? His last 36 decisions, he's 35-1.
I think that's very impressive. What can I say?
I just thought you made some pitch this year or something.
No, I'm not paying any attention to baseball. I'm shunning it until the Cubs win anything.
All right.
So maybe ever. We'll
talk about it forever.
All right.
All righty.
Thanks, Sterling. We'll be back. 10:37. Wally Hall's here. Thank you, Deltic Timber. Matty T's here. Patty B. We're way behind. We'll be back.